Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, and thanks so much for tuning in and listening. Hey, the last several weeks, almost a month, has been travel for myself and my family and a lot of the young people of the church. We were up at Park Creek Bible Camp for a couple of weeks for senior and junior week. That was a great time. And then kind of back a little bit. And then we just got back from Oregon this last week. So a lot of miles, and just want to thank God so much for all the safety and keeping us awake and keeping us from accidents and everything else that can happen on the road. It's so good to be with other Christians and to be encouraged, and yet at the same time, it's so good to be home, and it's good to be able to continue to broadcast the good news about God and about His Word to Las Vegas. So here we go. This morning, we're going to begin a series of broadcasts on the letter of James. Okay, in other words, the epistle or the letter that James wrote that's included in the scripture. So James is the one that's writing this, but as we've said before, and we'll continue to say about the writers of scripture, these men weren't coming up with these things on their own. They didn't invent these ideas or thoughts themselves. These are things that came through God, through the Holy Spirit, things that they were inspired to write down and record, and yet using their own faculties, their mind, the things that they knew, and God put those things all together. And anyone that chooses to look at the scripture rationally and reasonably and questioning it, testing it, not trying to find out if it's wrong, but to try to find out if it's right, you'll find out that there is much, much more to it than just a book. In fact, even those that have tried to go into the scriptures to prove it wrong many times have come out believing that there's no way that this could have just been written by men. And so we're glad to proclaim the truth unashamedly from the Bible. We always will. And we're glad that the Bible continues to be the number one best-selling book ever, and the way that it changes people's lives and everything else that's a part of it just points to the fact that God, our Creator and the giver of life, is the one that made these things known to us. So we're going to be going through James in what's called an expository manner. In other words, there's five different chapters in James, and those, of course, were all set aside, and the chapters and verse numbers aren't inspired. They didn't write it that way originally. These were written on scrolls and papyrus and different kinds of writing material. But there's five chapters that we have in our modern scriptures and verses so that we can easily find things and reference points and different things. And so we're going to be going through all five chapters of James, and we're going to go through it in a verse-by-verse way to really try to help you understand the book of James and to get some good from it. I remember my good friend Alex back in Bible college. He was a relatively new Christian when he began to take Bible college-level classes, and our instructor Stan Rada was telling us all about the book of James and kind of giving us an intro like I'm going to start doing in this lesson in just a little bit. But after he was all done talking about the intro, Alex raised his hand and Stan called on him. And Alex said, is there any relevance in this book for us today? Okay, now that was back in 1993, I believe. So that was a while back, but even so, Stan just kind of looked at him like, you're kidding, right? Because here's the beautiful thing about Scripture is that because it's God's Word, it's timeless truth. And even though the times and the circumstances were different when it was written, the principles and the teaching still remain the same, right, even to 2016. There are some things that don't apply to us anymore that have already been fulfilled and done, and we can readily recognize those things if we will study the Scripture intently. But the book of James, or the letter from James, is such a great little practical letter. And when I talk about practical, I'm talking about James combines not only the teaching of Scripture, but he applies it and he challenges us to apply it to our life. And so those are some of the things that we're going to be looking at and opening up. We hope that you'll tune in each Sunday. We hope that you'll invite other people to tune in. I know that those of you that are listening on 920 AM and those of you that are listening to Comp FM, you know, I'm glad that you're listening this early in the morning, and encourage somebody else to tune in as well as we go through this. Of course, just like always, pray that if you have questions or concerns or things about the book of James that you don't quite understand, or maybe I didn't cover it during a broadcast, that you would jump on our website at thechurchatlasvegas.com. Thechurchatlasvegas.com, and under Contact Us, there's a place where you can send us an email with your questions and your concerns about the book of James. So we'll tell you that again at the end of the broadcast. But right now, let's just jump right in here and start thinking about the letter of James to God's people. And so James chapter 1, James is in the New Testament, what's called the New Testament. It's almost right at the very back of your Bible. Of course, the very last book is Revelation. And then you have 1st, 2nd, 3rd John before that. And then 1st and 2nd Peter before that. And then you have James. So James is right between Hebrews and 1st and 2nd Peter. And we're going to take a look, like I said, at the book of James. So here's the first verse of James chapter 1, and starting in verse 1. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Now, one of the things about books in the Bible that you'll notice if you've studied them or if you're going to, is to realize that unlike our letters, we usually start our letters off by saying, Dear John, for example. Okay, this isn't a Dear John letter, but that's normally how we start our letters off, right? We say dear. In fact, in this modern day of technology, it's unfortunate, but most people don't write or even receive letters anymore. We send texts and emails and shortened things like that. But anyway, when letters used to be written more frequently, we'd start our letters with dear whoever it was. And then we'd tell them all about what we're going to tell them in the letter, and then we would sign it, you know, sincerely, love you, cordially, whatever we were going to sign it as, and then we'd sign our name at the end. Well, in New Testament times, when the writers wrote to their audience, they would always begin their letters by telling them who they were. Now, there are a few where that's not the case, especially the letter right before James, the book of Hebrews, doesn't have an author to it. And there's reasons for that, but we're not studying the book of Hebrews right now, so we won't talk about that now. But at the very beginning of the letter, it will usually tell you who it's coming from. So in James chapter 1 and verse 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So who is this James? Who is this James is talking about? James is a fairly common name in that time period, talking at the very beginning of the first century. And yet, you know, specifically, this is a James of some character and of some integrity and understanding, and people knew about him and who he was. And so he's writing this. And so there are several different Jameses that it might be, but it really kind of boils down to just two: James the Apostle and James the half-brother of Jesus the Christ. Now, James the Apostle was the first apostle that was actually martyred. He was beheaded very early on in the first century, pretty much right after the gospel started being proclaimed. So this James is not James the Apostle, but James the half-brother of Jesus Christ. Now, why do I say the half-brother? Well, obviously, Jesus was unique, wasn't he? Jesus was not the product of a man and a woman, okay? But Jesus was the result of him becoming a part of Mary. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? And then in verse 14 of John chapter 1, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Okay, now, how did that happen? Well, Luke's gospel, in Luke chapter 1, and starting in verse 26, Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. Now, that's very significant, of course, because Jesus had to be a descendant of David to fulfill prophecy. And so here's a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And incidentally, Mary also was a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Okay, well, that's quite an announcement to a young virgin girl that was just pledged to be married to a man. And so, like most young girls, I suppose, that would get a greeting like that, which Mary was the only one, she says in verse 34, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. How's this going to happen since I'm a virgin? Verse 35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, normally we hear this around Christmas time in December, because this is when Jesus, the Word, became incarnate. In other words, God put on flesh. And how he did that, the Bible doesn't give us all the scientific explanation, but the angel Gabriel told Mary that the power of God and the Holy Spirit would overshadow Mary, and somehow the Word became a part of her. In other words, he became Jesus in her womb. And so this is pretty amazing. In fact, in Matthew's account, if you go back to Matthew, after Mary was found to be pregnant, well, of course, the only thing that anybody could figure out was that she had been unfaithful to Joseph. Joseph knew it wasn't him, and so the only thing that he could come to the conclusion and everybody else was that Mary had been fooling around, and she was pregnant by someone else. And Joseph was going to divorce her privately because he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace like there was any more. But after that, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20 says that an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Now look at verse 25 of Matthew 1. Matthew 1, 25. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Okay, so even though Matthew records that Joseph took Mary as his wife, when he did that, she is already pregnant. In fact, she was already about 6 months pregnant by the time she got back, because right after the angel told her that this was going to happen, she went to visit her relative Elizabeth, and she stayed there for 6 months. So when she came back, she was quite pregnant already. And this is when all of these things happened. So Joseph, instead of divorcing her, took her home to be his wife. It says, but he had no union with her. Okay, in other words, they didn't consummate their marriage. There was no sexual relation, okay, which is the only way that human beings can get pregnant, is by the sperm and the egg. We get that, okay? We're not going to go into a whole lesson on reproduction. Those of you that are listening should be able to understand that. But here's the point, is that Joseph didn't have any union with her until she gave birth to a son. Because here's the thing. If you'll turn over to Matthew chapter 13, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 55. In fact, let's start in verse 53, because this kind of goes along with what we're talking about James here. It says, when Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there, coming to his hometown. He began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Verse 56, aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. So here's what I want you to know. We're talking about James as the half-brother to Jesus, okay? Jesus was absolutely unique in all of Earth's history. Never has there been anyone else like that. There were some miraculous births. Of course, John, okay? His cousin, who was his forerunner, okay? He was miraculously born, as it were, after a period of time where Joseph or Elizabeth and Zechariah hadn't been able to have children. Isaac was miraculously born. Samson was someone that it was announced that was going to be very special. There's some very special, unique births in the scripture, but there's only one Jesus. Hey, Mary was his actual human mother. As to his human descent, he was descended from David, but he was the Word who became flesh. In other words, he was God who became one of us. That's awesome. That's what we need to be reminded of, is that God so loved us that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever who believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. And so Jesus was the firstborn of Mary. But then I want you to see here from Matthew 13 and verse 55 and 56 that Joseph and Mary also had other children. Jesus's half-brothers, who would have had Joseph as their actual earthly father and Mary as their mother, were James. This is the James that we're talking about. Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters were with us. Okay, so Jesus even had at least two sisters. It doesn't say how many, it just says sisters. So he had to have at least two. So Jesus was actually part of a pretty big family, wasn't he? And contrary to some religious teaching out there, Mary was not a perpetual virgin. Okay, that's a false doctrine. The scripture does not teach that. Mary was not a perpetual virgin. She was a virgin up until the time that God came over her and she had Jesus. And after that, her husband, Joseph, had natural, normal marital relationships with her, and boy, they had quite a few other children as well. So this is what I'm talking about with James. And it's kind of a fascinating history because James was a young man, obviously. Jesus was his older brother, but James was the second oldest son. And all of them would have grown up with Jesus and were around him and everything else. And yet, here's something that's very interesting. If you go over to John chapter 7, John chapter 7, John chapter 7 and starting in verse 1, John chapter 7 and verse 1, it says, after this, Jesus went around in Galilee, purposely staying away from Judea because the Jews there were waiting to take his life. But when the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, you ought to leave here and go to Judea so that your disciples may see the miracles you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. And verse 5, for even his own brothers did not believe in him. Okay, so even at this point in Jesus' ministry, his brothers still did not believe in him. In fact, if you go over to Mark's account, Mark chapter 3 and verse 21, Mark chapter 3 and verse 21, it says in verse 20, Jesus entered a house and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. Verse 21, when his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he's out of his mind. Wow. It's no wonder Jesus said a prophet has no honor in his hometown. So even his own family, okay, even his own brothers and sisters and who knows who was all a part of that, came and really thought that he was out of his mind. They certainly didn't believe in him through his ministry, okay? But I want you to see that something happened. Okay, turn over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, of course, this is after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here in verse 13, it says that when the apostles arrived back at the place that they were staying in the city, it says they went upstairs to a room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew. That's one of the other James, the son of thunder, okay, brother to John. So Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Whoa. So something happened after his death, burial, and resurrection, and before the gospel first began to take place. And I'll tell you what that something was. In fact, I'll let the Bible tell you. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when Paul is preaching to the Corinthians or writing a letter to the Corinthians, he says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, for I received what I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Verse 7, then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. So in verse 7, where it says, then he appeared to James, okay, that was James, his half-brother James. And I think that's what made all the difference in the world. Here was his older brother that he had never believed in during his ministry, thought was crazy even during his ministry. But boy, after his resurrection, when Jesus appeared to him, guess what? James became a believer. And so James is very much the real half-brother of Jesus. And as we will see in his letter, James was very much attuned to his brother Jesus' teachings. and we'll show you that as we go through the book of James. But it's really fascinating how much detail the Bible has in it when you go looking for it. And so I hope this has challenged you a little bit on who James was. Before we end our broadcast, because we're almost out of time, let's listen to a song from Chris Tomlin called Amazing Grace, because really all of this is the amazing grace of God. Let's listen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone,
thanks so much for listening this morning. Tune in next week. We're going to continue this study about James, the half-brother of Jesus, and the letter that he wrote to God's people. Hey, we're the Church at Las Vegas. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. And you can come join us Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock for Bible study and prayer. You can also visit us online at thechurchatlasvegas.com. thechurchatlasvegas.com to learn a little bit more about us. Hey, thanks so much again for listening. We just ask that you'd keep studying the Word of God and keep standing on the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.